The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In our Bible study this past Wednesday, before we even read the text for this Sunday, I began by asking the participants to think of a time when you received a gift that you felt was far too generous, or when you received a gift that you felt you didn't deserve. And then I asked, how did that make you feel? As everyone shared stories about the extravagant gifts that they had been given and their reactions to receiving those gifts, they responded with things like, "I was astounded by their generosity. It was unmerited kindness. I was filled with gratitude. I felt overwhelmed, humbled, blessed, loved. I was shocked, embarrassed, surprised. I was grateful, thankful." I've had similar feelings when I've received such gifts. One story that has continued to stand out for me was back when I was a seminarian spending the summer studying and traveling in Zimbabwe with a few of my classmates. As students, we went on a week-long field trip with our professor, and one of the leaders who was a local who led Lutheran Development Services. Under the umbrella of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Zimbabwe and Lutheran World Federation worldwide, we were visiting sites that were projects that they were sponsoring in very primitive rural areas where most people had modest homes, huts actually, makeshift homes sometimes without electricity or running water. Lutheran Development Services worked much like other non governmental organizations in providing microloans to small businesses and farmers in order for them to create a local economy. The money is loaned to empower them to individuals or co-ops to create, manage, and sustain businesses in their local communities in order to provide for themselves and their families and to support the local economy. So wherever we went to see these projects, whether it was sewing, soap making, raising chickens, growing vegetables in a garden, producing sunflower seed oil, whatever the project, we would listen to the locals tell stories about the sustainability of their particular endeavor and the challenges that they were facing. They'd show us charts and graphs of their production output, including an accounting of actual balance sheets showing their profit and loss, income versus expenses. And every single time, no matter what the project that we were looking at and moving on to the next one, every single time before we left to go somewhere else, to head to the next project, we'd hear the familiar sound of clinking. Bottles clinking together. Out of nowhere, it seemed, someone would come with a crate on top of their head carrying bottles of Coca-Cola. None of these locals ever drank with us. The cost would simply have been far too great. They only served us, their guests. It was a gesture of hospitality, and it was their way of saying thank you, as if we were the ones who had actually provided those loans to them. That was over 25 years ago, and yet to this day, I remember my knee-jerk response, my reaction when I'd hear the clinking of those bottles, and I knew what was coming. I was so uncomfortable that these people with such meager resources were giving me a bottle of Coke. And I was so overwhelmingly humbled and even embarrassed by it that it was all I could do to accept it. But I knew that I didn't dare refuse it because I knew that it was a gesture of hospitality on their part and that it was a thank you. I'm still astounded by their generosity. But eventually I learned to accept these gifts with grace, by God's grace, and by reminding myself that they weren't really thanking me personally. They were thanking you. That is, they were thanking all of us who make up the Lutheran World Federation and who support efforts of parachurch organizations like Lutheran Development Services, Lutheran World Relief, ELCA World Hunger. They were thanking you, the members and friends of Central Lutheran Church here in Eugene, and every other faith community who supports these missions through our benevolence. And if we're part of the ELCA, that means all of us. Because church-wide and our synods and our congregations all funnel money through these organizations. That experience and others like it have made an indelible mark on me. In all the places I visited on behalf of the church, countries like Brazil, Mexico, Nicaragua, I've encountered similar people who've shown me such overwhelming generosity and hospitality that I've often wondered, why is it that those with such limited resources often seem to share so much more freely and readily with those of us who have abundance? In the first lesson for today, we heard that a man brought his tithe, his first fruits, to Elijah, the successor to Elijah, the great prophet. What we didn't hear was that there was a famine going on And so this man brought his first fruits to Elisha, and Elisha in turn instructed the servant to give the food to the people so that they may eat. In the servant's mind, that must have seemed absurd, an impossible feat. For how could a measly 20 loaves of barley feed a crowd of 100 people? But Elijah insisted, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." So he set it before them. They ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. And then there's the story I just read from the Gospel according to John, where Jesus took a child's gift of 5 loaves and 2 fish, then blessed it, broke it, and gave it to 5,000 people. And we heard how everyone ate their fill, and there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. In other words, there was an abundance, more than enough. These two stories taken together remind us that we need not worry about the scarcity of our resources. For when it comes to God's economy, there will always be more than enough for everyone to be fed. And in a spiritual sense, we are all of us given an abundance of God's unconditional, unmerited, undeserved love, and an abundance of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Those are gifts God freely gives to us, though we don't deserve it. And just as our gardens need sun and seed and water to flourish and grow, we too need God's sun, S-O-N, and seed, the seed which is the word of God, and water, the waters of baptism, in order for us to flourish and grow in our faith. As the writer of Ephesians reminds us, through the Spirit at work in us, God provides abundantly all that we need and more than we can even imagine or ask for. These gifts are given freely to you so that you may be strengthened in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, so that you may have the power to comprehend, to understand, so that you may know, intimately know, the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, and so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All of this, and so much more, so that we may unabashedly share God's gifts, God's overflowing, abundant, never-ending gifts with our families, our friends, colleagues, neighbors, classmates, and strangers alike, so that we too might come to share God's love with one another and with those we have yet to meet, so that we and they may come to know God's abundant grace, mercy, and forgiveness for themselves. Amen.